It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. Demand for mental health services is growing on college campuses across the country, and higher education leaders are trying to develop new ways to reduce anxiety, depression, loneliness, and other mental health challenges among young people.
Carroll University in Waukesha recently launched a new program with Wellness Advocates. These graduate students are studying to become mental health counselors, and they provide support for new college students struggling with the transition.
We have two campus leaders who started Carroll University's Wellness Advocate Initiative. Jake Eich is Director of Student Conduct and Social Responsibility in the Division of Student Life. Jake, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Jessica Lehner is here, Director of the Behavioral Health Psychology Program at Carroll and a Clinical Associate Professor of Behavioral Health Psychology. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you.
Jessica, can you explain how this Wellness Advocate Initiative is working at Carroll University?
Yeah, happy to. You know, we noticed, like many other universities across the country, an uptick in some mental and behavioral health issues amongst our students, some more symptoms of depression, anxiety, some relationship conflict struggles, those sorts of things. And so together with our director of our counseling center, with the folks at Student Life, like Jake, and our athletic director and assistant director, we talked about needing to kind of bridge some of these services for our students, where students didn't really need maybe a licensed counselor per se, but they needed some level of support for their behavioral and mental health that we just didn't currently have at Carroll that would help them be more successful in their classes, have better relationships, and really allow them to continue with their studies here. And so we worked together on developing this concept of a wellness advocate, which is a graduate student in behavioral health psychology. So they have some academic training in counseling. These are folks who want to be licensed professional counselors when they graduate. And so these students step into the role of the wellness advocate. And they're not counselors per se. That's why we've titled it Wellness Advocate. But they provide that support. We call it, it's almost like it's like a behavioral health extender, right? They're a behavioral health multiplier. They provide student services that, again, maybe don't rise to the level of needing a licensed professional, but still allow them to have higher degrees of satisfaction here on campus and just improve their overall functioning.
It sounds as well as they're getting some on-the-ground learning experiences in their future profession.
Yes, and that is something, as you know, the director of this training program, that really excites me. We're not only meeting the needs of our undergraduate population here at Carroll, but we're also providing our graduate students a really important, tangible way to build their foundational counseling skill set.
Jake, you're based in Carroll's Office of Student Life. What is your role in this Wellness Advocate Initiative?
Absolutely. So I serve as a sounding board and connection for our wellness advocates, where we are able to work through some of the student issues that they're currently managing in their caseload, working through some of the nuances and dynamics. And I also have some additional access to maybe some more of the behind the scenes information for the students that our wellness advocates are working with. Could be pertaining to their major, some of their grades, a little bit of our prior experiences working with them. But additionally, I take on different caseloads of working with our students as well, sometimes in the disciplinary process, sometimes in our student support and behavioral intervention team. And we just learn a little bit about what our students are experiencing in their day-to-day. And then I can serve as a supplemental referral point of contact as well for our wellness advocates to make sure that the students know when they're done working with me, when they're done working with another member of our student life team, that they have these ongoing resources that are available to them so that they can continue to work through coping mechanism development, skill development, and just to make sure that they still have somebody to talk to.
But Jake, how might wellness advocates serve a different purpose than the role of your RAs, your resident advisors in the dorms, who work to strengthen those relationships in the residence halls?
Absolutely. So when our wellness advocates are working through their masters and working with Jessica and their program, so I would say that our wellness advocates have more training, more background, more classroom experience, and just more general knowledge about what the students might be experiencing. Additionally, they have a little bit more skill set in being able to develop appropriate plans in terms of moving forwards, that they can identify specific skills, coping mechanisms, and other developmental opportunities that maybe our RAs just haven't had enough opportunity to develop in their time.
Okay. And Jessica, you know, now that the initiative is up and running, what is the student response like? What are you seeing?
Yeah, that's something that we're really excited about. Students are responding really positively to having this additional support of the wellness advocate. We've got two wellness advocates currently. One is primarily servicing our students who live in the residence halls, and our other wellness advocate is primarily servicing athletes here on campus. And both of those advocates are very busy. They have a pretty steady stream of students coming their way. And so we know that this is a service that students are utilizing. You know, I think that because it's not counseling per se, I think it reduces maybe some of the stigma or trepidation that might come with making an appointment with a counselor. I think that these wellness advocates just really normalize seeking support for these pretty normal kind of developmental, sometimes concerns and struggles that students have. And sometimes they're not there. Sometimes they are a little bit more atypical, but like Jake said, our wellness advocates with their training in behavioral health psychology have the knowledge and skill set to be able to support those students. So it's being really well received. And our wellness advocates themselves talk so highly about this experience. They are really loving this role. They recognize that their support is beneficial to these students and that their students are getting relief with some of their symptoms and they're better managing their struggles. And so it's been real validating, I think, for our students to serve in this role.
And Jessica, even though these are graduate students who are staffing the Wellness Advocate Initiative, you know, what does a student-to-student or a peer-to-peer approach offer in this situation?
Yeah, I think that it's really important. Our wellness advocates are graduate students, right? But they're not very far removed from the undergraduate experience. And I think that our students who are seeking their support identify with the graduate students that are providing that support, and it makes it feel more approachable. Again, it takes away, I think, some of that trepidation and maybe stigma for seeking out those services. And both of our students who are wellness advocates know what it's like to be a student, right? Mm. They've been in that role before. And our advocate who's serving our athletes, I mean, she's a national collegiate champion. I mean, she was a college athlete. She knows what that life is like and the different challenges that our student athletes are facing. And so I think our students feel really comfortable going to her for her support.
And Jake, as you're helping to manage these caseloads with the wellness advocates, you know, these are really personal situations. How do wellness advocates build trust with the students who reach out for help?
That's a great question. And I think part of it leads to what Jessica has been talking about, building rapport that they've been students too. Like, they're not too far removed from it. They understand all of the pressures that go along with that, all of the life stuff that happens when you're a student, all of the things that you're trying to balance as it relates to studies and personal connection, social connection, finances, just the multitude of things that are weighing on our students. And then when you think about our student athletes, they also have pressures to perform, additional time constraints, the need to succeed on the field or on the court or whatever it might be. And like Jess was saying, our students can relate to that in a lot of different ways. So there's a lot of rapport building that goes along with it. Additionally, both of our advocates have been working really, really hard to be known in the community by getting in front of teams, spending time in the residence halls, showing our students that they are people too, working to navigate this campus experience. And so I think that is very helpful, along with just, you know, that they don't have the label of counselor or therapist that goes along with them. They're there as a peer support that is there for ongoing maintenance and connection and check-in and conversation. And so I think that lowers the intimidation factor pretty significantly for our students.
We are talking about the rollout of a new wellness advocate initiative at Carroll University with Clinical Associate Professor of Behavioral Health Psychology, Jessica Lehner is here, and Jake Eich, Director of Student Conduct and Social Responsibility at Carroll. Jessica, as these wellness advocates walk a line with peer advice and informal, clinical situations, when would a student be referred to behavioral therapy or a mental health clinician?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we're very clear when we train our wellness advocates where those lines are. They are not counselors, right? And they understand that. And so, you know, when a student has our students, because they are graduate students, they have diagnostic skills. They know how to assess symptoms of depression and anxiety. And so when they have determined that a student is at high risk or meets criteria for these specific disorders, our students know, okay, we need to get this person connected to a therapist at the Walter Young Center, which is our student counseling center, for example. Our students are skilled at assessing suicide risk. And so they know, you know, when they're engaging in that assessment, when a student needs additional support. And we've got really clear processes in place that our students can follow to get our students connected to that licensed provider when it's necessary.
I wonder, you know, the wellness advocates, this is intense work. They're taking on, you know, intense, serious issues on top of their own workload that is graduate school. How is the university supporting the advocates who work on this project?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have kind of two different mechanisms to provide them the support that they need to continue to do really good work and manage their own burnout, right? We want to make sure that they're maintaining a nice kind of work-life balance and taking care of themselves. So one piece of that is each of our wellness advocates has a licensed psychologist who's providing them clinical supervision. That's a very typical model in mental health training. And we felt like even though our students, our wellness advocates are not providing counseling services, we felt we understood that this, like you said, was going to be intense work. And we felt it was really important that each of them get 1 hour of supervision from a licensed psychologist so that they could better manage their own caseloads as well as advocates, as well as attend to their own kind of professional development and self-care. And then Jake's team provides what would be like a supervisor for a job, right? So Jake is the supervisor for the wellness advocate who primarily serves our folks in the residence halls. And then one of our athletics faculty and staff serves as the supervisor of our wellness advocate who services the athletes here at Carroll.
Jake, within the higher ed environment, the student life environment, we're seeing more AI deployed. UW Green Bay just announcing it has a chatbot texting service to help undergraduate students with their mental health needs, connecting them with resources. What do you think of using AI as a tool to help students thrive on campus?
Well, that's a really interesting question. And I think that, you know, as our technology evolves, as our students evolve, as the technology that our students uses evolves, I think we got to stay open to every option. that is out there. Our students live in a 24/7 world where things need to kind of be available at their fingertips at all times. And so therefore, you know, we have to be dynamic in how we meet those needs of students. I would say in my own preference, I would love for an ongoing relationship of both. Something that is, you know, the beauty of our small campus is that personal connection where we develop relationships with students, where we see them on a day-to-day basis around campus, where we have this level of access that they have to us to be able to, you know, dig into whatever is going on in their world and process through it, talk through it. But we can't neglect that students are going to continue to live in an AI world where that is going to be continue to be the norm for them. And so I think that we need to, you know, step into that space a little bit and see how we can explore meeting the needs during that way without losing the personal touch and the personal connection that we love so much.
It's striking that balance. Jessica, as we close here, do you have goals for what you want the Wellness Advocacy Initiative to achieve more long-term, more into the future?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Yes, I mean, we want to continue the program. Obviously, we're in our pilot phase, and we've been just doing this for a semester, and all indicators suggest that it's working and it's successful. So I want to continue and grow the program. You know, Jake and I are, we've been talking about the data that we're gathering to give us a more clear evidence-based indication of what's working and what we need to continue to add as we move forward. Do we need more wellness advocates? That's a question that we're asking ourselves. Are we servicing all of our students equitably? That's a question that we're asking ourselves. Who is seeking out these services? Is there a group of students that are not seeking out the assistance of the wellness advocates, and why? How can we better reach those students? So we are collecting data to help us answer those questions so we can grow the program in a way that better meets our students' needs. I think that this program normalizes help seeking. You know, I want our students to go into their first job, for example, knowing that they can take care of their behavioral and mental health, right? That is not a luxury. That is something that should be, you know, top of mind that they expect to be able to do. And when we normalize and provide our undergrads the resources to do that as undergraduate students, then they go into the rest of their lives understanding that this is important, it is useful, and it is something that they can expect. And so long term, yep, I've got long term plans for Carol, but I think long term, having wellness advocates available to support our students is really normalizing this type of self-care for them long term.
Jessica and Jake, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for your interest.
Thank you for having us. It was a pleasure.
That is Jessica Lehner, Director of the Behavioral Health Psychology Program at Carroll University, and Jake Eich, Director of Student Conduct and Social Responsibility in its Division of Student Life. We learned about Carroll University's new program of wellness advocates who are helping new students improve their mental health and aiding in the transition to college life.
Hey, if you follow Wisconsin Public Radio on social media, did you know we have two Facebook feeds?
Indeed. In addition to the one called Wisconsin Public Radio, you can also follow us at WPR Music, Arts, and Culture.
As the name suggests, the feed is less about breaking news and politics and all about things happening in creative culture around the state and people doing interesting stuff in communities like yours.
Check it out, especially if you need a break from the news. It's WPR Music, Arts, and Culture on Facebook, and you can join in with your thoughts.